The main thing that investigators are looking for when it comes to cryptocurrency is knowing what services have been involved in the sequence of transactions that I'm interested in. The way that we actually got the business off the ground was investigating the largest cryptocurrency theft at the time, which was the Mt. Gox bankruptcy case.
You're listening to Jonathan Levine, an economist and co-founder and chief strategy officer at Chain Analysis. Welcome to the Fraud Fighter Podcast.
Yeah, from my point of view, cryptocurrencies are really a technology. And, you know, it's a very powerful technology that cannot be put back in a box.
In this episode, we discuss how Chain Analysis started, how the Mt. Gox bankruptcy started Chain Analysis as a leader in tracing Bitcoin, how Chain Analysis is fighting fraud and money laundering, the certifications and courses that Chain Analysis provides, and what steps to take to start a career in tracing cryptocurrency. He was recently highlighted in Forbes magazine as one of the 40 most influential people under 40 years old in the finance industry. He has a master's degree in economics from Oxford University. He is co-founder and chief strategy officer at Chain Analysis. Jonathan Levine, welcome to the Fraud Fighter Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Robert. It's a pleasure to be here.
I have used your product called Reactor and have actually traced cryptocurrency. And recently in the news, there was an article about the North Koreans using cryptocurrency and laundering through Chinese nationals. When I was reading the article, I saw a Chain Analysis being used to do so. And I just thought I definitely had to have you on the podcast, especially since in the cryptocurrency world, there's a lot of fraud going on. What sparked the idea of Chain Analysis? Since you're a co-founder, how did this come about?
Rewinding history a little bit, my background's actually in economics. And I was, you know, one of the first sort of serious economists looking at cryptocurrencies in general, trying to really understand how they work and what impact they're going to have on the world. And this was back in 2012. What I realized was that, you know, if cryptocurrencies were ever going to become a thing, you know, there needs to be a company that understands the most about how and why people are using cryptocurrencies and be able to bring the blockchain and Bitcoin and those types of cryptocurrencies. You know, they're all inherently, you know, very transparent compared to the existing financial system, but it really requires specialist software to be able to expose that transparency and be able so that governments and fraud examiners and businesses can really band together to protect the integrity of these systems. And so really, the whole idea at the beginning was just to say, you know, there needs to be a business that understands the most about, you know, how and why people are using cryptocurrencies. There's this unprecedented ability for a private entity to have this visibility into this transparent ledger. And if we could be the first mover, if we could build the most comprehensive data set mapping, you know, cryptocurrency transactions to the real world, we'd be a very important business, you know, for all types of use cases, fighting fraud and money laundering in particular, that would be very significant as more people, as more organizations, as more governments even, you know, transact using the blockchain. So that was kind of the real sort of genesis. And the way that we actually got the business off the ground was investigating the largest cryptocurrency theft at the time, which was the Mt. Gox bankruptcy case. That was really where we, you know, really learned to be investigators in this completely new realm. You know, at the time in 2014, there wasn't really anyone who was an expert in tracing cryptocurrency or being able to understand that case. And, you know, it goes beyond being able to do the forensics on the box. You know, it goes into, you know, where did the money go and how is the money being moved and where is it being cashed out? And, you know, in that case, It took a few years, but then you had the BTCE indictment of Alexander Vinick, and seeing the connection between the types of crimes that were being had and the money laundering operation that was BTCE, that was really significant and touched a lot of different organizations, which is actually how we kind of started our US government business. We really sort of have gone from working that case to actually providing the software that powers a lot of investigations across the federal government and the private sector to really weed out the bad actors that are taking advantage of people using cryptocurrencies.
So did you have like a computer programming background? There's got to be a way to take the blockchain ledger and turn it into a graphic. Is that something that you are an expert in, or did you just had the idea and had to farm out the software to be able to take these numbers off a ledger sheet and put it into circles and lines and squares?
A good description of Reactor: squares, circles, lines, and squares. And it sometimes feels like that. But no, my background's in economics. And really what I did in the early days of the business was make sure that we would enable all of our customers to be really successful and build very close partnerships with the federal government and with other customers. And so I partnered, I'm just one of the founders of Chainalysis. So my two co-founders, Michael, who's the chief executive of Chainalysis, and Jan Muller, who was the CTO, both of them are far more technical than I am and could definitely translate the blockchain into a system where it's much easier to understand. From the very beginning, Michael, myself, and Jan had been in cryptocurrency for a long time. And we know that actually today, cryptocurrency impacts pretty much everyone. It impacts almost all investigations, people buying capabilities with Bitcoin, people laundering with Bitcoin. Really it touches national security issues, as you mentioned, with North Korea. It's really going across the full gambit. And we knew we needed to simplify the complex nature of this new technology and make sure that it's easy to use and that we are providing an analyst with the insights and intelligence that they need to be able to build their cases. And so Jan and Michael are far more technical than me. And then we built out our engineering team, has been developing the products since we started in 2014.
So how is Chainalysis currently fighting money laundering and fraud? It's not just a software where people can look at what's going on, but you're behind the scenes telling agencies, this is what's going on, this is what you need to look out for. I'm assuming you're also in a consulting fashion, not just a reporting fashion of here's the transactions and that's it. I'm assuming you're telling them how to do things better.
Yeah, I think there's a combination, right? So I think one of the things that has been amazing to witness over the last 6 years has been the growth in experts within the government that really do understand how to track this type of money laundering or these types of threat. You've seen huge cases in the last, I would say, 5 years, where most of the biggest cybercrime cases were solved in part using Chainalysis to look at the flows of money. And so a lot of that is built by people in the government themselves, people who have either been trained by us, or in the early days when we didn't have a full training program, there would be agents who would teach themselves how to use the software and to build these types of cases. And so I think that that's definitely changed over the years. The other thing that's happened is we have a transaction monitoring product called Chainalysis KYT. And this is really for any organization that is processing any transactions in cryptocurrencies. It allows them to monitor in real time whether they're sending money to a darknet market or some sort of illicit, or receiving from some sort of illicit activity, and then move from that to filing a suspicious activity report with FinCEN. And then obviously, once it gets into FinCEN and becomes Bank Secrecy Act data, then that gets shared again with law enforcement, and we go back to law enforcement using Chainalysis Reactor to be able to actually power to go after those criminals and those leads. For us, what's been interesting is the transparency of the blockchain allows you to build solutions that allow the private sector to monitor for the risk and do the reporting. And we're really the software and the data that powers those decisions. And then once that's been reported, we are the investigation product that allows law enforcement to really take those leads, build the cases, and then prosecute them as needed.
When you estimate the illicit nature of Bitcoin, what percentage do you think actually the transactions in Bitcoin is actually for bad purposes?
So the way that we look at this is that there are markets and there are real sort of illicit services in Bitcoin. You have ransomware campaigns, you have darknet markets where marketplaces that are hosted on Tor that allow people to buy and sell personal identifying information, drugs, and other types of cybercrime material. Those are the things that we directly identify as illicit. And there's been fluctuations. So for example, last year, we estimated that about 2.5% of all the value transferred on Bitcoin was going in and out of illicit services. This year to date, it's a little bit lower than that. It's something more like less than 1%. There has been sort of a variation over time, but you're talking in the 1% to 5% range, particularly associated to, you know, the real illicit activity. Yeah, that does maybe underestimate. There's some other types of money laundering activity that is going on where the crypto is just being used as the laundering mechanism, right? So
right.
The illegal proceeds are generated elsewhere, and then cryptocurrency is being bought with that and then moved. That's a little bit harder for us to estimate exactly how much that comprises of, but you know, the number that we track is the one that we have the highest confidence in and the highest fidelity. And if people are interested in, you know, tracking that really over time, we've actually released this on our website. So you can go to markets.chainalysis.com and you can take a look in real time about, you know, how much activity we're linking to illicit activity on Bitcoin.
So when it comes to tracing that Chainalysis is providing, what credentials can people earn from Chainalysis that says that they're like power user of your product or services?
Typically, if someone is doing a deep dive investigation, you're really looking for a place for you to send a legal request for further information. You're looking, you know, for the on-ramps and off-ramps in and out of cryptocurrency where those businesses are doing KYC, will have full customer records. So that would be passport, driver's license, address, history of transactions, linked bank accounts.
KYC meaning know your customer.
Meaning know your customer, exactly. So really that's where you're looking to get to is something like that. And so what you can think about Chainalysis is providing that map from the transactions to those entities. And so that's sort of the main set of insights that we provide. We do some other things as well, which range from stuff like web scraping, where you'll be able to see a forum post if it mentions a cryptocurrency address that you're interested in, and some other types of methods as well. The main thing that investigators are looking for when it comes to cryptocurrency is knowing what services have been involved in the sequence of transactions that I'm interested in. That's what we're really focusing on. We need to be the best at giving people that easy way to go from cryptocurrency addresses to the services that are involved in a set of transactions.
Using your service or products, there is a credential out there. You can take a class in how to use your software, correct?
Yeah. So we actually now have some certifications, not just a course, but we actually allow people to become certified investigators. We do a cryptocurrency fundamentals course, which is just a great way for if you're just starting to see cryptocurrency or you know, you're curious to understand more about cryptocurrencies. We have a cryptocurrency fundamentals course. We have a reactor certification, which is if you are an investigator and are doing these types of cryptocurrency analysis, you can do the reactor course. We also now have launched a compliance version of that as well. If you are in a bank or a cryptocurrency business and are looking to be able to monitor your risk associated to cryptocurrency transactions, we've got a certification for that too.
I can understand why governments will want to trace the cryptocurrency, but private sector like banks, why would they have a need to trace cryptocurrency? Or do they need to?
Yeah, it's a great question. We see sort of two use cases here. One is plenty of financial institutions you know, either exploring transacting in cryptocurrency, trying to be able to offer it as a service to their customers, or find some way to interact with cryptocurrency or a stable coin, or maybe even considering something to do with central bank digital currencies. So we definitely see a lot of interest in, you know, if you are directly transacting in cryptocurrency, you need to be able to monitor those transactions the same way as you monitor your existing wire activity or card payments. And that's a very common use case. And all of the cryptocurrency exchanges that are allowing people to buy and sell cryptocurrency need to be monitoring their systems for abuse and, you know, rely on us to help them with that. But even if you are a Fortune 500 company or a financial institution, you know, there are things like ransomware. There's also other cybercrime threats that face your institution today that actually, you know, the capabilities that are being bought to leverage those attacks are being sold in Bitcoin. And being able to really understand those types of threats and what comes from that is something that we've seen a lot more big businesses with threat hunting teams or teams that coordinate with law enforcement. You know, really, those entities are seeing a lot more value in being able to, you know, trace cryptocurrency to size up threats or to assist law enforcement in investigations. Or even more recently, we've seen ransomware payments that have been recovered through the ability to trace cryptocurrency.
So if someone wants to learn more about tracing cryptocurrency and wants to get into the career of forensic examination of cryptocurrency and where it's coming from, where it's going to, what steps would you recommend to that person who says, this is what I want to do for a living?
We're often hiring. So we're building out teams that are either cybercrime experts, people who get to trace cryptocurrency all day as a living. I kind of wish that that were my life. I've transitioned to running a business, which is a different skill. Yeah, we have a lot of jobs on our website. You can go to chainanalysis.com and find our job board. So that's one thing. We also, again, run these courses like crypto fundamentals and other types of things. But then a lot of our customers have a desperate need for people who are talented in doing cryptocurrency investigations. Everyone from law enforcement in countries all over the world have been recruiting people. A lot of the system integrators, the Booz Allens and Deloitte's and Accentures and those types of things have started to stand up programs where they're selling services to the government, leveraging our technology to be able to do those cases. And then also the private businesses, so banks and cryptocurrency businesses, both often looking in the compliance department, in the fraud department, or in the cyber division in the banks for people who actually have an expertise in being able to trace cryptocurrency. So there's plenty of careers now. There's lots of different companies around the world who do it. Definitely also send us an email. Tell us why you're interested. Maybe we can help you find a job either at Chainalysis or at another company.
So if you had a teenager or young adult who is interested in this world, I guess there's not a degree to get. I guess you can go to YouTube and learn a lot of these things, but how would you even get your foot in the door other than just applying? Is there something else that they need to bring to the table to say, hey, I'm the guy that you need to hire because I have at least this background or this type of training?
For the most part, like some level of data science, I've seen all sorts of successful paths when it comes to being a good forensic examiner for cryptocurrencies. I've seen people who come from a more traditional forensic accounting background who then can bring that skill set to bear on investigating cryptocurrencies. I've seen people come from a more cybercrime, cyber investigation angle and learn the financial piece. But really, some of the people that have been the most talented are people that are just deeply passionate for the technology, people that have maybe traded some of the cryptocurrencies themselves. The nice thing is this data is all out there, you know, available for anyone to look at and to analyze. And so if you are interested in data science, if you have sort of started your own project, just even basic investigating what's going on the blockchain, you know, all those things are definitely interesting and show a passion for the industry and what you want people to be looking at when they're hiring people in the space.
Looking into your crystal ball, where do you think cryptocurrency is heading in the next 5 or 10 years? Is it going to be more prevalent in our day-to-day lives, or is it going to be just an outlier?
Yeah, from my point of view, cryptocurrencies are really a technology. And, you know, it's a very powerful technology that cannot be put back in a box. It's something that allows for money and value to be much more programmable, something that allows more people in the world to participate in it, something that allows technologists to build applications on top of it without the permission of others. You know, that really puts it on a one-way trajectory where this technology continues to gain, you know, further adoption as more people just become interested in it. So, you know, I think in the future, you'll see more organizations put transactions in the blockchain. You'll see more people use cryptocurrencies. And maybe it's not day to day. Maybe it does penetrate payments in a meaningful way. Or maybe it remains as an asset class where that will continue to grow over time. But I see this becoming much more important in our future financial infrastructure. The existing banking and, you know, international settlement system continues to need an upgrade. We continue to find technology that enables things that people couldn't really imagine before. And I think that is going to drive the type of innovation that we need in financial services.
If I'm listening to you closely, it sounds like investigators, examiners should be expecting to adapt to this new technology, new way of doing financial transactions. It's not going to go away. And it's just something that's going to have to be learned. For those that are dinosaurs who are still using pen and paper, this is the future, it seems to me, based upon what I'm hearing from you.
Yeah, I think so. And it might be that, depending on where you are, that your day-to-day may not touch cryptocurrencies in a meaningful way today. But I'd encourage you to take a sort of stronger look at that and understand where it might be, because the people that are ahead and understanding the emerging trends and themes and threats, you know, those are the people that are going to be the people that are able to grow the most and further their careers.
What are some of the challenges facing Chainalysis and tracing cryptocurrency? When we use the word cryptocurrency, there's thousands of them. Most people think of Bitcoin. What's out there that you think is a challenge for Chainalysis?
One of the big challenges is just making sure that we can educate. So, yeah, it's great to come on these podcasts. It's great to talk to people about what we're doing, because, you know, still people sort of hear the word cryptocurrency and have sort of negative associations with it, or, you know, think that it's a dead end in an investigation. And so it's great to be able to continue to educate. And it's hard for us to scale, you know, that education process. And that's been definitely a challenge in our business. You know, in terms of like the actual technology, you know, clearly there's a very fast-paced industry. It's extremely dynamic. There's lots of different coins coming out, as you allude to. And so keeping track of all of that and scaling our actual infrastructure has been, you know, definitely one of the challenges that we have to stay on top of. And we've also seen innovations in the technology. Privacy coins and anonymizing techniques are really something that we pay very close attention to. We have a whole research arm that thinks about the types of problems that we may run into and have been sort of, you know, invested heavily over the last 6 years in being able to tackle the most pressing problems as they arise.
Approximately how many cryptocurrencies are you guys tracing at this point in time?
Well over 100.
That's a lot. They're similar but yet different, correct?
Yeah, tracking a lot of different cryptocurrencies, but also simplifying that down to the level that anyone can do an investigation, and we abstract away the complexity for you and give you a similar experience across the different cryptocurrencies.
Chainalysis has been around since 2014. They've been associated with a lot of investigations, both in the United States and internationally. What's an investigation that Chainalysis has involved so far that you're the most proud of?
There's a lot of investigations that happen that I have no awareness or, you know, knowledge that we were even involved. You know, our customers use our products to be able to do those cases and don't actually give us a phone call about them. But one of the ones that I have been, you know, incredibly proud of is the Welcome to Video investigation. Welcome to Video was a child abuse materials site based in South Korea that was being run, which had at the time the largest collection of child abuse material. We were able to assist in the way that the money was like the key piece of the investigation, where the administrator of the site was receiving donations or subscription payments in Bitcoin and then using the Bitcoin to cash out. The interesting thing about this was the administrator helped us identify the administrator really quickly. You know, this was an investigation actually done by IRS Criminal Investigations, and they don't typically investigate child abuse material distribution. But when it comes to money laundering, where someone is taking the proceeds of a criminal act, no matter what it is, and is laundering those funds, IRS has been one of the lead agencies in being able to fight that in order to protect the integrity of our financial system. And in this Welcome to Video case, not just the site was taken down, but we managed to map out all of the donors to the site, all of the people that were contributing material, well, not all of them, but a substantial amount, and saved 20-odd children from harmful situations and arrested 330-plus people from around the world who were either sponsoring that content, making that content, putting children's lives in danger, you know, arrested the admin himself in South Korea. And so one of the moments in my career where I look back and say, invented a technology that's meant that we can get after these criminal actors in wherever they are. We can coordinate international investigations across, you know, many different countries, and law enforcement is really stepping up and doing the work, protecting society and ensuring that all of us can sleep better at night.
I believe in that situation, it was not only the producers of the videos, it was also the buyers of the videos and the administrator of the website itself. So you could get both the product coming in as well as the people who are buying the products. Made some national news, and kudos to the IRS and Chainalysis for finding these guys. And I know there's other federal agencies as well that were involved in that investigation. What do you wish you had known before you started Chainalysis, looking back?
You know, a lot of stuff. I wish I knew what government contracting was about. I wish I knew what it meant to run a business. I wish I knew what it meant to be able to hold security clearances and a lot of different other aspects of being able to run a business. The thing for me that's been amazing is that we've managed to take the company from the three of us who were really sort of deep on this idea and visionary in terms of what we thought we would be able to achieve. Yet we've kept on the same mission. We've kept doing the same things. We've kept supporting these critical investigations and empowering law enforcement to keep cracking these cases and keep actually also protecting the reputation of cryptocurrencies and helping the entire ecosystem grow. Chainalysis is over 200 employees today. We really are truly global in nature. I wish I knew all the employment laws in all of these different countries and what it was going to take to grow such a global business and scale in 6 years to where we've got to. Really, it's been just the beginning of a journey where we're still in the early phases of adoption of this technology. We're still in the golden age of being able to fight cybercrime and to tackle these cases and be a real force in the market. And I'll look back in a few years and realize I didn't know very much at this moment either. I'm looking forward to continuing to grow and, yeah, our support for the mission and our support for the private sector and doing their job and being able to help in the fight against cybercrime and money laundering.
Are you ready for the final four questions?
For sure.
What is your biggest motivation now?
Right now, I would say my biggest motivation is that we are able to make this technology, which I think is, you know, an incredibly powerful piece of technology, be a force for good in the world by both preventing bad actors from abusing it, but also finding new ways to increase financial inclusion for the world population.
What book or books have changed your life or thinking?
Many books have actually changed my life and thinking. I'm going to keep it strictly business. One of the books that I think has changed my way of thinking is The Hard Thing About Hard Things, which is a really accessible business book for people who want to understand how hard it is to be the chief executive of a company and what it might take to grow a business from when it looks doom and gloom to turning it around and becoming one of the more successful investors in the world. It's written by a guy called Ben Horowitz, who's one of the venture capitalists at Andreessen Horowitz.
Share something that you've purchased in the last 12 months, less than 100 hours, that has made you or made your life easier. Something that says, boy, if it's good enough for Jonathan, it's good enough for me.
This is a really good question. I would say a jet boil. So
what is a jet boil?
So a jet boil is a camp stove, which is fully integrated, a gas camp stove, which boils water incredibly fast in a very safe way when you're out in the wilderness. And, you know, I've been very fortunate to spend some time in the mountains the last 6 months, and that jet boil has come in handy.
If you had to do something else, you were fired today, what would you be doing, Jonathan?
That's a really tough question because I'm absolutely emotionally, physically invested in doing what we're doing and, you know, wake up every day and love to support the mission and what we do. I guess I would have to be training to be a pro cyclist on the road cycling tour.
Nice. Very nice. If someone wanted to follow you at Chainalysis, what would be the best way to follow you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter, Johnny, J-O-N-Y. _ LEVIN. You can also find me on LinkedIn. I'm Jonathan Levin on LinkedIn. You can also always shoot me an email. I'm jonathan@chainalysis.com.
Well, Jonathan, thank you so much for being on the podcast. It is absolutely pleasure to talk to you. You guys are doing a great job tracing these Bitcoin and being a consultant for the federal governments and other agencies out there. And as a user of your product, I know it's very good. And I just want to let you know, I do appreciate you guys being out there. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.